Hi, how's it going, everybody? And welcome to the Debutify podcast, the premier e-commerce podcast brought to you by Debutify. I'm your host, Alex Bond, and joining me today is Volodymyr Katansky, the founder and CEO of WorkLayer, a one-stop solution for remote business management, which involves project and quotes management, time tracking, invoicing, budget management, chat, and plenty more. Volodymyr is considered an expert in telecommunication, productivity, and fintech software solutions, including big data and blockchain technologies. His current portfolio counts more than 100 startups, Fortune 500 companies, and patent-pending applications. On this episode, Volodymyr and I discuss project management, automation tools, organizing workflows, and much more. Here's our interview now.
Volodymyr, welcome to the show.
Hey, Alex. Nice to be here. How are you?
Great. Very happy to have you. First off, why don't you tell me a little bit about your company, WorkLayer?
All right. So WorkLayer is one of my recent endeavors in response to the challenges I found in the management of some other companies. I take a helmet. So WorkLayer is a project management solution that spans beyond just tasks management. It goes into the financial data integration and gives way more data insights to management of the team, so the company can focus on the profitability and never lose track of it.
No, that's wonderful. And I think these workflow organizational programs are becoming increasingly popular. And we'll talk about that a little bit. I'm curious first, what are some of these specific, say, like day-to-day operations that WorkLayer can help streamline for a brand or a company?
Okay. So yeah, WorkLayer is kind of bread and butter to the operations daily routine, I would say. Like every time someone's working in a company, begins his or her working day, they start from doing the check-in within the system, letting efficiently everyone else know what they are up to today. And in the course of the action, they can also automatically send the information through the system about what task they're working on right now. At the same time, the system tracks the time spent per specific task. So in the day-to-day operations, it becomes instrumental things to communicate between different team members. And without elaborating further, we also have chat as probably one of the main tools that we use, especially in the hybrid or remote working environment.
You put it well yourself, where essentially the hybrid work environment, especially, I think this was kind of spawned due to the pandemic, but I'm curious your insight on if platforms like WorkLayer have become increasingly popular because of these hybrid work environments and more employees and just general brands are working from home, or if it's more an increased globalization of employees. For example, Debutify is a multinational company, so I work from the US while plenty of my team leads and producers and everything else work in Australia or the Philippines or something like that. So I'm curious if both of those things are accurate or one is more than the other as to why something like WorkLayer has become increasingly popular.
Okay. Yeah, I'm glad that you asked, because before the COVID, exactly, nobody actually was worried about much, you know, the remote working environment. Mm-hmm. Most of the companies working from office. So it never been a thing. But I can tell, doing this little sidestep, is that working remotely is way more challenging than working in the office. And part of this challenge comes out of, for lack of the better words, controlling the proper execution by your team, staying on track and efficiently synchronizing. One of the original brand names we tried to achieve was Synchronos, which is still like organization's name, Synchronos. But the trademark battle, we lost this one, so we got to get with something else. But the idea is about exactly to synchronize among different time zones. And yes, COVID pushed that just straight into our battlefield. So we had WorkLayer and remote working operations way before this cataclysm. And now we are in the spot when everyone else is talking about that and people don't want to get back to going like conventional 5 days a working week. So yeah, it's propelled the industry into looking into challenges like, how can I synchronize between the different time zones? How we are going to work with calendars? How are we going to, you know, meet with clients and how we can synchronize the team to work with these different time zones? Mm-hmm. And on top of that, of course, reporting, controlling, and seeing efficiently the transparency between each team member becomes extremely essential in such workflow. Because in the office, like at the length of the arm, you can just, I don't know, poke your teammate and say like, hey, I just want to distract you. Now we must be more concise. We must now think about, wait, this guy's probably working on something really important. Should I really, disturb him? And we built a lot of tools around that to increase the performance and productivity without losing the goodies that you normally would have from on-site operations.
Mm-hmm. Because with these platforms, again, you mentioned the chat already, but there is a seamlessness when everything is streamlined in one platform where you can talk to people, you can reference certain, you know, tasks or projects or quotas and quotes and, yeah. And all these specific things where you don't have to leave the app for. Is there pretty much anything that you would need an additional third-party app or system to do?
Yeah, that's another good question and been a real pain for us to use different systems. So no, with WorkLayer, it's not one system because we believe the communication is extremely important when you refer to something, you know, connected to the requirements because it's directly impact the contractual agreements. So if you lose small details, usually it end up the organization that provide these services losing money. So we didn't want that. Plus, every time you have a new team member, you know, having this zoo of different apps was definitely a killer. So we used Slack in the beginning before we had a WorkLayer and the Asana, and it was like constant loss of context. What we're talking about? The client, they want to talk whatever they want. The team members also become very loosey about that. And tracking of something we call finding the single source of trust was impossible. So building the chat as an integral component of the WorkLayer on top of task management solve this issue partially. And secondary, instead of using the conventional comments that you might see in the platforms like ClickUp, Asana, and other project management tools, was completely replaced by having a chat associated with the task. So instead of having comments attached to a task, we have chat. So it becomes more reactive, more fluid conversation around specific subjects. And on top of that, we gain access to a very structured knowledge base generated out of such interaction. So instead of, you know, like, looking around for scattered requirements in this channel, like searching it, like endless searching. Now the search is very fast because we know that we can start with the subject and find the all conversations that relate to the subject. It's not always working this way. There's still some resistance for people to cope with it, but we are getting closer to the state when we don't have these loosey conversations in the channel. Everything has subject.
Yeah, so people aren't talking about memes or jokes in all of them. You know, it's yes. Easy for stuff to get lost in the shuffle that way too. For example, when I prepare for these podcasts, I'll write the questions maybe on my notes app sometimes. Sometimes it'll be in an email. Sometimes it'll be in a task in our organizational platform. And I got to search through all four of these things when it'd be nice if it could just all be in the same place. And albeit I will take blame for that because sometimes it's just quicker to do it in my notes app. And that's, you know, my story. I'm curious if WorkLayer is best utilized for any specific project or any specific task or maybe even a specific industry, for example. You know, is it best for sales? Is it best for marketing? I mean, what's kind of the prototypical vision or use case for WorkLayer?
I'm going to start from a very simple thing that the main prototype was our own agency. They're another business I run for. It's called Startup Craft, where we develop custom solutions for blockchain, AI, et cetera. So we take the exemplary of requirements. We had a software development agency. We had a mix of operations, such as we worked with the design, quality assurance, and other software development agencies together. And yeah, the prototype, I would say, would be any service provider agency, software development, design, quality assurance, and maybe marketing. But WorkLayer is more specifically aimed at making your team working proper. Internal operations, tracking time, having a proper report it to the client. WorkLayer is very friendly to invite the clients because they can quickly get the insights without this back and forth communication with project managers. And it's all about these internal parts. You can make notes for yourself, like you can send messages to yourself, like in Slack or any other platform. We still can do this. You can create a space to organize your own stuff. But mainly, it's designed for the teams that are aware of the time tracked. They work with billable time, or even if it's a fixed price contract, they still want to have accountability, both financial and qualitative, inside the system in one place, so they don't scatter around. For example, if you don't use time tracking at all, there's a different ways to approach that, maybe some fixed price salaries. I personally think it just reduces the precision, but in this case, WorkLayer won't be of much help. That's true. Like if you don't track time, you lose the precision, and the precision is what we try to outstand with other tools. If you are working in the industry when there is like more than just time tracking, you need to connect some different metrics associated with specific tasks, that might be along the track in the roadmap, but not necessarily available right now. So probably the first companies that would enjoy that would be software development, design, marketing, and quality assurance, or any other kind of consultancy service-based type of companies. Mm-hmm.
And I'm curious how specifically user-friendly it is. I mean, for example, does using WorkLayer require a brand to have kind of one employee that's at least one employee that might be designated to organizing tasks or organizing workflows and that sort of a thing? Or is it user-friendly enough to where everyone can kind of jump in and it just becomes second nature to all the team members or employees? Or is there kind of like a WorkLayer admin that needs to be installed internally?
Yeah, that's a very interesting question, because to answer it, first of all, we need to understand that WorkLayer or similar tools are the tools. They are not actually associated with the style of management you prefer. So I would say, if you select the framework, like lean framework or framework where you do not require this separated person, like the dedicated person to manage the entire stuff, it will be more than enough for the team members to follow some, I would say, rituals, some procedure to work with this efficiently. And I believe genuinely that for the teams up to like maybe 12 to 15 people, that shouldn't be the case. As long as everyone is like responsible. In my experience, responsibility and such discipline is very hard to achieve. So being realistical, I would say for anyone who would start, they would still going to be someone who watches after other team members, kind of like project manager, mm-hmm. someone who is more on like on a high level, who is not like, you know, in the field, but probably on the like command center. So this person probably would need to spend a little bit more time in the beginning, ensuring that every process went smoothly, but then it's easy. Like chat is natural. You don't need to enforce much just by saying like, hey, let's discuss requirements in this channel, you know, other stuff in this channel. And then everything that's connected to specific client's business, let's do this in the task chat. That's it. That would be us about the communication. And this is a big part. And when it comes to time tracking, this is something that usually causes the negative thinking process because of the controlling aspect. But I would say it should be perceived as a reporting aspect, because there is two ways to approach the reporting. You might ask the team member to report by the end of the day what they did so far, or you can just ask them to click the button to reflect what they're doing right now. So to me, the second is the best, because it gives additional benefit for letting everyone know in real time what they're up to. And so to summarize, it's all about the process style you have. It can be more soft on these requirements, even on those I have mentioned, or it can be more strict. But I believe, unlike like ClickUp, when you need to spend like hours and hours just to understand how make things work, it's always surprised me. Like you pay for the tool and then you pay for people who know that tool, mm-hmm. how to work that tool. So part of illusion I see here is that they mix the educational component of how to run project management, which is fine. This is pretty straightforward, with using specific tool, which I think should be part of the package you buy when you pay for subscription for the tool. So this is kind of different things. We try to make it so easy to understand that you probably don't need to do any like preliminary coaching, educating yourself. So yeah, it should be easy. But we just started and we love to hear the feedback from people. I can't say like it's going to work for everyone. Yeah, but definitely much easier than ClickUp or similar alternatives.
Well, and that's great, because my next question is actually about ClickUp. And you kind of already gave me an answer, but I'm curious if you could expand on it a little bit. What separates WorkLayer from other similar platforms? And you mentioned some of the similarities or specifically differences that it has from ClickUp. But what about the rest of them? I mean, is it just that barrier for entry that ClickUp has? Could you expand on that a little bit for me?
So that's very often asked question. And the answer is ClickUp, Rike, Asana, more advanced tools. They try to work for everyone. They get too deep in some aspects and it creates a huge problem. For example, for agency businesses, for up to 120 or 150 people, I would say, you don't need that complexity with hierarchy, for example. Like what ClickUp did looks pretty cool, but in reality, the more nesting you have, the more complex it is to manage. So for example, in WorkLayer, we removed the nest level of the task down to two levels. It's going to either a task or subtask. We removed types completely of the task. We think this is like, should be decided by the team. So we just use tags. And ClickUp, in their effort and their work to go that universal for everyone, building so many tools, they didn't build essential tools to me. Like, if I'm going to use ClickUp, if I would imagine we go away from work layer for whatever reason, like experimental, and we did this specifically, by the way, not only we need to learn the way the hierarchy work, we need to spend hours and hours to make it work for everyone else. So for me, it might be not that complex because I'm inside this field about the project management tools, but for regular folks that doesn't want, we are not paying them to cope with the tool we force them to work with. We pay them for the specific job. So we want perfectly 100% of time spent into doing the job they're being paid for, which is respectively being charged for our clients. Now, with ClickUp, similar tools, I found people not necessarily even spend so much time on using this tool, but having a cognitive load of remembering all of these nitty-gritty. The time is always the price in the beginning, a huge price in the change management. And then it's still cognitive load. So ClickUp misses financial data integrations a lot. Like, their timesheet management is so bad. Every time I hear right now people trying to create some their custom solutions around these deficiency, or use some add-ons, or use Zapier, and it ends up them spending so much time, losing still the precision because integrations never works as good as native system, and you can't keep them accountable. Like, when we use the Sana app stuff, which is can be replaced probably right now with the ClickUp time tracking, app stuff had a good time management. So even something that we used 6 years ago before we went to the work layer, it gives us something that ClickUp still doesn't have. They don't have good time management, timesheet management. And on top of that, it's a tip of the iceberg. Having time management, you need to map onto the financial data. So now your top management team can focus on goals. Like, how profitable are this project? Do we have problems here? Should we prioritize efforts on fixing this? So they don't have this at all. People use spreadsheets. Second, they don't have chat. You got to pay for that. And yeah, this is a problem we already discussed, the tearing apart the context. Third problem they have, they don't cover such essential tools such as like invoicing, bills. You got to use different tools. You got to use different integrations. If you have the data about time tracking, timesheet management, task, like, what stops you from adding credentials, putting somewhere in the settings, that's what we did with the work layer, and generating voice automatically? Easy. Another area, workload management or resource planning, something we are kind of improving right now because it's a very complex task, but it's another problem. Like, when you work with the agency, I hardly see when one person work in one project. That would be very easy. They usually, you know, you got to work with schedules and other stuff. So if you go this advanced level, working the schedules, the similar tools, they simply don't pay much attention to something that is really might be important. So to me, they have like pretty cool tools. It's like Trello on steroids, but they are missing so much essentials that I can't say ClickUp or Rike or Asana is a project management tool. It's tasks management tool. Because for project management, I can't ignore financial data. I can't ignore communication. I can't ignore, you know, proper integration with other operations of the organization. I simply can't do that. It's not efficient. And yeah, that's what probably would differentiate us. And to add on top of that, you might think, oh, these guys cover so many tools, but we don't go deep enough to make it like look titanic. No, we just cover what's needed. And if, let's say, a new client comes in and saying like, hey guys, it probably would be nice to have this, it's not a big deal for us to add as long as there is demand. So we stay lean. We try to adapt to the customer's need, and we don't build like something that unlikely going to be used by majority of our customer base.
No, and that's great. I think you epitomized it very well as saying staying lean. I've had some success with Monday for another project that I use because it is pretty lean, you know, in my humble opinion. I don't want to go down the rabbit hole of what I like and what I don't like, but one of the uses was it didn't get bogged down by all these extra stuff that I didn't need it for. And I think that, you know, just to pivot a little bit, I think there is a lot of value in being able to communicate to a potential client or brand and saying, you can use it for this. It's great for this. It might not be good for that. A company is going to be pretty likely to work with you and WorkLayer because of that transparency. And I know that data transparency as well is a major foundational building block of your company. How important is data transparency and transparency at large, do you feel, to the WorkLayer business model?
Yeah, that's a good question. I like to associate it with the example of the movie called Moneyball.
I love that movie.
You're right, love it, right? Because this is where the national football starts becoming data-driven. Instead of like using some abstract, delusionary metrics, they start to get these more precise metrics. And I've been working in some project called Fantasy Insiders in the past, which is about fantasy sports, very popular in the United States, of course. I started to realize why people need that metric, and the founder recommended to watch this movie, and I like it. So absolutely, data transparency for many reasons is very important. And for your internal operations, it must be pinnacle, because if someone is asked like, hey, how profitable you are, can you answer like how good you are in numbers? A small amount of people can answer that without going into details, gathering the information, and probably missing a lot of other metrics in the process. So data transparency is important to me, to every responsible team members. For example, if you have project managers, I believe they must know what would make you as organization owner or organization top management happy. And mainly it's the profitability. You want everything have to be green, balanced, like everything's on time. We don't have overtime. We are staying within our, let's say, margin goals. We want all these metrics to be satisfying. And to have this confidence, you must, in my opinion, inform the respective parties. Because if they don't see this information, if they just operate the metrics such as how many tasks are completed, even when the things will be done, it's very limited. They must know how they can make things work better when they know the goals for the margin. For example, whether we are in good percentage, right? And to have this information, they need, to have this confidence in reporting this and having no surprises, they must have as much data as possible. Mm-hmm. Our project managers can see in real time who is working on what. And for example, if something is deprioritized and someone forgot to update the respective team member, they can react very fast because they often watching this real timeline. And this is beautiful because if it's not notified, this was back in my own experience when I was a software engineer. Someone's coming to me like, hey, do you do this task? I'm saying like, wait, it's going to be next. I'm going to finish this one. And then I go to the, wait, the one you're working on, it's like, it's no longer needed. I was like, what? It's like Thursday. I'm 4 days working to that task and you're saying it's not needed. He was like, yeah, just stop it. I was like, wow. Now, of course, it's not my mistake that I'm not being notified timely about that, but the company loses money. In the end of the day, it's not about the game finding who to blame. I believe the most important first party to blame is the party who established the operations and processes, meaning the organization is to blame. Now, if you have enough data to react, you will probably never end up in such inconvenient conversations, you know, like, and losing money as a result. So I think data transparency is very important. And when you work in time and material with WorkLayer, you know, clients can see the data as it goes. If you work in the fixed price, if the task is done, they see like estimation you did is 100%. Mm-hmm. If task is not done, they pay you nothing. Very fair. In reality, internally, of course, you can make tasks faster. So this is going to be extra bonus for you. Or you can over time spend more resources. But again, it's a fixed price. This is important to hard-coded principles of the work engagement inside the system. And this is would contribute to the proper data transparency and trust in the future.
And I think an additional part of this, obviously, it's a cliche, but time is money philosophy is the proliferation in automations. And that's something that WorkLayer helps a lot of brands and a lot of its users with as well. So I'm curious if you have any sort of advice to companies on when they should lean on automation and when they shouldn't, because I feel like we're not necessarily there yet, but we might be on the cusp of where everything's automated. And then you have people who are sitting around looking for something to do because they automated all their stuff a little bit too much, you know? So I'm curious if you have any sort of advice there on when to automate and when not to, maybe if there's specific tasks or what have you.
Well, that's a very good point. I have to admit, I was kind of inspired by what automation can do, but theoretical and practical things are not very connected. The reason is when you automate too many things, you got to maintain this automation. Something changes, you're in bigger trouble than if you wouldn't have any automation.
Sure.
And it also might scale the error margin. So while I like automation, we are living in an amazing time, especially in this year, when we see AI rising. And I believe we don't have like, I gotta fully admit, in work layer, we have a lot of native things that might be considered as automation, but we don't have this, you know, automation workflow configuration, you know, this chart. And with AI rising this year, I started to ask myself, do I really need it at all? Because right now we develop something that will be called AI-driven project management. That means AI representation of your project manager as a person doing a lot of different various tasks. And I realized if you can train this to do what the company used to do, you don't need to maintain automations. You don't need to create automations. You simply focus on the processes you built, and this artificial intelligence will just pick it up. And I think this is how we can skip automation at all. We don't need it. AI can do this job for us. It's like cloning your project manager, if you wish, to simplify the example. And, you know, the most advanced developments I'm going to share here, it's called AI agents. It now allows different AI systems to talk with each other. Imagine you have PMO, consisting of AI, like this AI project manager working this project, this, and this, and they cooperate between each other. It's like absolutely mind-blowing. Where are we moving at? Where are we heading at? And I think automation, while it's important, just to get back on track with this question, I think it won't be that relevant once we see the huge advance in AI. Because by the end of the day, everyone can admit setting up automations is a very tedious task. It's very expensive and very complex too. It takes a lot of effort. And something changes or new team members come in, it becomes additional resources needed to spend to make it work. So while they're cool, if you have automations, yeah, you probably will use to it and this is cool, but I would say minimize the amount of automations, leave only essential automations, something that you realize the impact of not having it is significant and calculated. Don't just think, oh yeah, it's a game. No, calculate it in time. Whether you need to keep it in mind, this is one, I would say currency, and another, how much time it takes. Everything else is better to cut because in the end of the day, you still work with people. And people do the actual functional, execution of the task or the job. And they also can make mistake even within the automated scope. They might miss something or automation can backfire. Automating something that probably would need like another round of thinking through, you know.
Well, and then you add in the fact that two people could end up automating something that then conflicts with itself or say something needs to be fixed. When these automations are built on top of each other, it's kind of like a Jenga tower where you can take one little piece out and the whole thing could fall apart.
That's a good analogy.
And then you're spending all this time and money to try to fix a problem that wouldn't have even existed if you didn't even use the automation to begin with. So I think there's a lot of value in what you're saying, especially if you can circumnavigate that via artificial intelligence is communicating each other, because that way they're not doing the same workload. They're kind of building with each other instead of against each other. I think that's a really, really smart observation. I'm curious in your experience, if you've seen, for example, what might be the biggest overhaul that companies need, really, really need when organizing their workflows, just in general. I mean, that's kind of the real, as you said yourself, bread and butter of work layer. So I'm curious if they come to you for a specific problem over and over and over again.
Well, I'm going to reflect a little bit. And I think the most important question to ask for any organization owner or top management to be honest with themselves and answer how comfortable they are with the existing system. Like, can they, and I love to ask this question very often, can you go sabbatical for 6 months minimum or 1 year or 2 years, knowing that your business is in good condition, not accounting like maybe growth, but just existing operations. Can you just step out? And this would probably explain how good the workflow it is, because over the time, the system must operate flawlessly, in my opinion, and not only counting internal operations, but also hiring, firing, onboarding new clients. So looking at the workflow realistically, seeing how many parties are involved in the certain processes and how resilient the system is if something changes is the most important thing they can do. And I would say, I will never stop saying, do not stop simplifying things. The more simple system it is, the much easier it is to scale it. In Startup Craft, we picked at 125 engineers. And I can tell we've been handling it with 5 project managers, which it's very small amount of management team, mainly because we operated very simple processes. And it took us a lot of time and energy to make it simple. It tend to be, I would say, hard for everyone to educate themselves, to play by the rules of the game. For example, like you said, it's so convenient for me to make a note, or it's so convenient for me to do something on the side. But if you just, in my opinion, if you fall into that feeling and doing something that is convenient to you, it might have a more dramatic impact on the team. So always thinking about, okay, I'm making notes for myself. It's fine. I think you could totally do that. It's just you. But when you work in a team, you shouldn't think about yourself in the first place. You must be really honest. What my team members would react to this? What are they going to spend time? Whether they have enough information to take action? So workflow, I think, is important to have enough data transparency and respect to each other so everyone can be on the top of their productivity. And finally, never forget why we are doing the business. It's falling back again to this question about being honest with yourself. We are here, despite the problems and challenges we solve to make this world better, we still need to be accountable of the profit. It's our resources. It's our motivation in many ways, no matter who gonna say what. Resources are impossible to subtract, and it must be not maybe main factor driving the business, but one of the vital and most important. You might have a mission, but maybe on the same statement, you must make it work, you must make it like productive. Because in the end of the day, you can't do much business without money flow, right?
No, exactly. You're totally right. I've got one final question for you. It essentially revolves around how people in the e-commerce space might deal with more stress or anxiety or mental health issues, problems than people in other industries. I'm curious if there are any sort of hobbies or interests that you practice to kind of more articulate a work-life harmony and a less stressful life as an entrepreneur.
Yeah, well, that's interesting and very deep question. I'll try to be profound. So in the matter of like e-commerce, I think e-commerce service businesses are pretty kind of connected in my opinion, because you deal a lot with the customers or clients, and it's very intense. Intense mm-hmm. gives stress in my opinion. So what I think the most important is to have, well, it's my example. It might not work for everyone, but I found discipline is very helpful. In the beginning, it's painful, very painful. Oh, yeah. But I know once you adjust to it, it's going to do the magic. So I do physical exercise every day, trying to do this before afternoon. I'm kind of waking up late because I have international clients and I'm in Australia. So I like wake up at 9 and I try to do my workout before noon. So having the exercise every working day just helps me physically get into proper balanced state. I can skip exercise for some reason if I do like blood work or whatever. But if I skip 1, 2 days, 3 days, it's fine. It must be very rare, because once you're in this rhythm, it's like in a full swing. You know, you got to be expecting it. Your body is expecting it. You now feel much better. This helps me overcome some of these smaller challenges, like, you know, polishing it. Now, the stress we experience, it also connects to the amount of time we work. So if you have a stretched schedule, it's important, like I do, it's important to have proper relaxation or disconnecting from the work completely with no interruptions. When I'm talking about stretch schedule, it's like, well, I start basically from 9 a.m. checking inbox. I can wake up like maybe 9:15. I'm checking inbox. And my working day ends at around 11 p.m. So it's very stretched. But it doesn't mean I work all these hours. I work maximum 6 hours right now. It's been a long time before I get there. It's usually from 4 to 6, sometimes at 3 hours. How I do that? It's simply by creating the chunks of the time when I work, when I most need it, the meetings, and like winding down with the rest of the day if I need to catch up. So having this rest is important. It's important to not to ignore it. It's important not to do anything. And more importantly, the rest ideally should not be associated with a digital world if you are in e-commerce or, you know, any kind of, I play guitar, electric guitar. It's like a meditation to me, because
Yeah.
I don't connect to the digital world. Yeah, actually, I have to admit, I use as amplifier my MacBook audio card. So it's you know, with
that barely counts.
Yeah, but it's like I'm focused on the play on the guitar. Yeah. So this is really powerful thing. Going out, especially if the weather is great, is another thing. Doing physical exercises. Yeah, probably that would be it. Just trying to disconnect from digital world and having this like waving, like in, out, might help with creating a good marathon of job. And finally, on the weekend, it's the same. If you have been very intensively in the digital world, try to make it your sanctuary. In my company, I try to say everyone, not only not good to work on the weekend, you shouldn't. So we kind of convey the message, try not to work wherever you want on the weekend. Like, try to still do this as your, like, you know, escape. Go somewhere, just don't work. And this it did magic for many team members. Some of them still working, but I think that just helps you understand that we are in marathon. It's not a sprint. And if you don't properly differentiate, it will come out of the balance. Again, my experience, maybe it's different for others, but it helped me. Discipline, everything just works as a magic.
Volodymyr, thank you so much for coming to the show. And until next time, my friend.
Yeah, thanks. Happy to be on the show and hope everyone have a productive week. Take care.
I'd like to thank my guest, Volodymyr Katansky, for joining me on the show, and come back next time when I talk with Jim Kennemer, the founder and managing director of Cosmo Sourcing, a full-service general sourcing company that started in China in 2012 and Vietnam in 2014. For more information about Volodymyr, you can connect with him on LinkedIn or follow him on Instagram at freelancing_CEO or on Twitter at blackening999. To learn more about WorkLayer, visit their website, worklayer.io, spelled WORKLAIR, or follow them on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter at WorkLayer, or on Instagram at worklayer.io. That's our show. Thanks for joining us, and we hope you come back to find more insight from the top experts in the e-commerce community. Until next time.